إن الحمد لله نحمده ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So this is actually again it's continuing the same theme. It's the chapter of belief, Kitab al-Iman, and it's to do with major sins, obviously being very serious, but not making you a disbeliever. Okay, and do you remember the terms that we had before? There was about kufr. What else was mentioned? Which don't necessarily make you not very. Yeah, kufr dun kufr or kufr less than the major kufr. And there was another example in the last hadith of Abu Dhar where he said that you still have some. Yeah, so he insulted his slave. He insulted his in the, before he insulted his slave and said, "Oh, you son of a black woman." And then the Prophet reprimanded him and he said, "You still have some jahiliya in you." So that term of ignorance, referring to the time before Islam, someone may have some jahiliya with him, but that doesn't make him a non-Muslim. Okay. Now, this example is concerning fighting between the believers, okay? And Bukhari actually mentions an ayah, which is in Surah Hujurat. We'll come on to that ayah. وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. So if two parties or two groups from the believers, the mu'mineen, fight one another, then make peace between them. So Allah called them, the term he used for them was believers still, okay? And we have the hadith, so Abu Bakr, in the same vein, Abu Bakr, not Abu Bakr, but Abu Bakrah, radiallahu anhu, narrated this hadith. إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتُلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ. That when two Muslims meet one another with their swords, meaning fighting, then both the murderer as well as the one murdered will go to hell. فقلت يا رسول الله هذا القاتل فما بال المقتول قال إنه كان حريصا على قتل صاحبه. So then the companion who was there, he asked, يا رسول الله, it makes sense for the murderer, but what about the one who was killed? And he said, he surely was striving and eager to kill his companion. Okay, I may just have to just go outside. Okay, so this just illustrates the point. Let me just see if I can fix that. So this, again, it goes along the theme of the fact that major sins don't eject you from Islam. Obviously, fighting and killing another Muslim is a very, very serious matter. But it still is under that category. There are lots of other proofs which have a similar phraseology. So, Sibabul Muslim Fisq wa Qitaluhu Kufr. Okay, or Sibabul Muslim Fusuq wa Qitaluhu Kufr. So disparaging a Muslim is an act of fisq, is a severe type of sin, and fighting him is kufr. So again, in the hadith, the word is used kufr, but that's obviously not something which takes you out of Islam. Okay, it's kufr dun kufr as we did before. Okay. Okay. And then, so again, that ayah, were in, so again, the same concept, the term which Allah uses is al-mu'minun. وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. So if two factions amongst the believers fight, then make peace between them. So Allah uses that term even though they fought. So any shirk less than any sin less than shirk or major kufr doesn't make you not Muslim. However, it's obviously a very serious matter. You're impairing the obligatory level of iman which you should have. So it's still obviously a very serious issue. Okay. And then again, just to give other examples, okay, another there's a so again, there is a certain aspect of iman which is lost when someone does a major sin. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the zani, the adulterer, is not a believer, meaning that he's fallen short from the obligatory level of iman which he should have while he commits zina. And the one who drinks wine is not a believer while he's drinking wine, and the thief is not a believer while he is stealing. And the plunderer is not a believer while he does that, okay? And the people are looking at him. And also in another hadith, he is not a believer when he is killing, okay? And these are authentic hadith, okay? And then another hadith, la imana liman la amana lahu, wa la deena liman la ahda lahu. There is no faith for the one who cannot be trusted, and there is no religion for the one who does not uphold his covenant. Okay, that's Hassan according to Sheikh Al-Arnaout. So again, these all have to be understood in context. Yeah. So there's the ayah, which again shows that any sin other than shirk, Allah can forgive that. And what's the ayah? Do you know, Umar? Or just say English if you don't know the Arabic. Inna Allah. La yaghfiru. It's about shirk. Allah does not forgive. So the Arabic, you remember it, right?
I'm
Yeah.
in
Yeah. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah does not forgive shirk, but he forgives lesser than that or other than that to whom he wills. And there are all the hadith about the believers who are still upon Tawheed, who have been in the hellfire, they're burnt to coal, and then they come out and they come back to life. So everything needs to be taken in context, okay?
Sorry, Adnan.
Background of hadith, the actual full story is not mentioned in the summarized Bukhari, but it is mentioned in the full Bukhari. So basically, Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, he was a leader of his tribe, and he was a very careful, cautious person. But he was going to help Ali, and this was unfortunately there was a, there was there were conflicts in the early part of Islam after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and Ali was going to fight against the Khawarij and that group of people, and Al-Ahnaf was going to fight with him. He was going to help him, and then Abu Bakr, the companion, actually saw him and said, don't get involved, just stay out of this. That's what he was saying. Even though we would say that in this matter Ali was actually correct, he was actually fighting the Khawarij, and he was and this in this situation actually was justified, but and the Prophet, or he encouraged and recognized that it's something needed to do to fight against the Khawarij. Okay, in the end Al-Ahnaf did go ahead and fight, but the general concept of being cautious when there's fitna between the Muslims and it's not clear who's right and wrong. And especially in the early times, there was unfortunately fights between some of the companions and the believers who were with them. So in that context, one should be very cautious when there's fitna and confusion. Okay. And one of the companions, when one of these early fitnas was happening, he said, I'm not going to get involved and I will only fight if you can give me a sword, which tells me this guy's a believer and this guy's not a believer. So then I'll kill them. So obviously that's not possible, right? So he was afraid of the seriousness of this matter. Okay. So again, both the murderer as well the murdered will go to the hellfire. But this is not eternally. What's the proof in the hadith itself which shows that they will not go to hellfire eternally? Because obviously I mentioned about other proofs and so on. But in this hadith itself, there's a proof which shows that exactly. That's exactly the point. So just like the ayah, when ta'ifatani min al-mu'mineen, okay, if two groups amongst the believers, and here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the word Muslims for both of them, okay, so it still shows that they're still muwahideen as long as they're upon tawheed, they will not be in the hellfire forever, okay, when two Muslims fight, okay. And then again, the ayah, when ta'ifatani min al-mu'mineen, okay. So fighting and killing is obviously a serious matter, but it's like other major sins. There's a threat of the hellfire, but it's not forever. And why does the one who was killed also go to hell? Well, again, we said that he was striving to, sorry, that should be a sa'd, sorry, that he was striving, he was haris, striving to kill his companion. So when someone is trying, intends to do something, and you're working towards it and striving towards it, you will still carry that sin, even if something prevents you from doing it. Okay. So again, that's just a reiteration of that point. There's another proof, yet another proof. Okay, and this is about al-qisas. Okay, so what's qisas? Do you know? The retribution. Do you know what retribution is? Al-qisasu fil qatla. What do you know? Qisas. It's this obviously certain prescribed punishments in Islam, right? So in the case of murder, well, I mean, normally the murderer would be killed, the murderer would be executed, okay? But if the family is happy to forgive him, then he has to pay the blood money, but then he may be forgiven and let off. So this is يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص في القتلى, that retribution in the case of murder is prescribed for you. The free for the free, the slaves, and so on, and so on. But whoever overlooks from his brother, i.e., he forgives the killer anything, then he should pay the blood money. Now, the term that Allah uses for the killer is his brother. فَمَنْ أُوفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, whoever forgives and overlooks his brother. Okay, so again, the same concept. It's the brotherhood of Islam. He's still your brother in Islam, even though he's a killer. Okay. Okay, so that's that. So yeah, that's the point. So just as a side point, again, so these things I told you already, actually, that these things, it may seem sort of academic, but it's not actually. So I was in travel to Oman, and just was speaking to some people about the things we notice. So one of the things we notice is that they pray with their hands down. But you might see them in the haram, that they don't put their hands across the chest or even lower down. They have their hands straight. But also I was talking to them, and one of the guys there was saying that we differ from the Sunnis, and we say that if someone does a major sin like drinking or zina or something like that, then they will stay in hell forever. So he said that quite explicitly. So I didn't want to get into a discussion with him, but that's what he's saying. So this is actually it's quite real, and there's basically a whole country which has that akhira. So if you are aware of the proofs of the Quran and the Sunnah, especially the Hadith, which put everything in context, and the understanding of the companions, then you can discriminate these issues. So I think that's really important. Yeah. Okay, so something.